around ya. Time to shine that light and break out from the norm. The universe is calling you to raise your daughters and sons. The
universe is... You're listening to Community Radio WRFG Atlanta and on the World Wide Web at WRFG.org. 89.3 FM. We're proudly your listener-supported station for progressive information.
Tonight, Makua Ray of We Are One TV will join us to discuss the We Are All One block party that is coming to Little Five Points this weekend. Andre Holmes will have our Pride and Politics segment, and Diana Begbie will have our Sovo News headlines. So, sit back, relax. Alternative Perspective starts right now.
And good evening, greetings, and you are listening to WRFG 89.3 FM, your station for progressive information, and this is Alternative Perspectives, produced by Betty Couvertier, and contributions by Andre Holmes, Dion Bates, and LaCara Foster. Alternative Perspectives is the voice of the GLBTIQ community and our allies, the focus being the issues that affect the GLBTIQ community, social, economic, religious, and political, to educate and inform about the lives of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, intersex, queer, and questioning community, and find the common humanity that connects us all.
I have two legs, just as long as yours. They reach from my hip to the floor. I have one heart, it works much like yours.
You're listening to Lily Lewis and the song that she had written almost 2 years ago, especially for this show, Less Than Holy. Okay. And I thought I would play it again tonight since we're approaching our second anniversary on October the 3rd. And give thanks again to Lily for that. And here she goes.
Behind the bigotry, even that love is blindness and poetry. So school me, what gives you the right to tell me that my heart is anything less than holy?
What gives you the right?
What gives you the right? My love is anything less than worthy.
And we have our Sovo News on the line. Diana, you there?
I'm here.
All right. How you doing tonight?
I'm great. Thank you. How are you?
What you got for us?
Good evening. Here are the headlines, some headlines from Southern Voice newspaper. After 12 years as the executive director of Atlanta Pride, Donna Narducci has resigned the post. Festival director Jennifer Sheffield has also resigned in the wake of this year's six-figure financial loss for Atlanta Pride, held July 4th weekend at the Atlanta Civic Center. Pride Committee Chair Deidre Heffernan said Pride's current financial situation would have made it difficult to pay its staff for the rest of the year. The board will not replace Narducci or Sheffield, leaving Dari Wilson, the Director of Programs, as the only full-time staff member. Pride Finance Director Paul Gibson was also a paid employee, but has since agreed to volunteer his services through the rest of the year. The Pride Board declined to give a specific amount of how much was lost during this year's Pride, only saying it was a six-figure amount. The decision for Narducci and Sheffield to resign was a mutual decision. In 2006, some 56,300 Americans, including an estimated 2,100 people from Georgia, became infected with HIV, a 40% increase of the Center for Disease Control and Prevention's long-standing estimate of 40,000 annual new infections each year. The numbers were released at the International AIDS Conference being held in Mexico City, Mexico. Despite the alarming spike in estimated HIV infection numbers, CDC experts insist the new numbers do not represent an actual increase in the number of people in being infected with HIV, but instead the ability to more precisely measure HIV incidence. The new numbers also showed that gay and bisexual men continue to be the group most affected by HIV and AIDS. While the CDC is adamant the new estimates don't reflect an increase in actual HIV infections, officials conceded that such an increase appears to be taking place among gay and bisexual men. Of the 56,300 HIV infections that occurred in the U.S. in 2006, 53%, or almost 30,000 cases, were among gay and bisexual men. Some 52% of the HIV infections that occurred in Georgia in 2006 did not have corresponding information about how the infection occurred. Of the cases where a cause was known, 68% were among gay and bisexual men. The new HIV infection estimates also confirmed that African Americans have an HIV incidence rate 3 times higher than Latinos and 7 times higher than whites. In Georgia, blacks made up 79% of new HIV infections in 2006. And Midtown native Jim Martin easily won the Democratic primary runoff for U.S. Senate on August 5th, clearing his way to take on Republican incumbent Senator Saxby Chambliss and Libertarian candidate Alan Buckley in November. Martin bested outgoing DeKalb County CEO Vernon Jones by more than 60,000 votes to garner 60% of the vote. An unofficial tally from the Secretary of State office shows Martin received 188,011 votes to Jones's 126,319 votes. Keisha Waits, a lesbian seeking a state house seat, fell short of a win in the August 5th runoff. And for information on these stories as well as many more, check us out at www.sovo.com. Those are the headlines.
All right. Thank you. See you next week.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay. And your Sovo News. And with that, we will go to a public service announcement.
Is a place to be. Progressive radio for you and me. Baby, let's make a way to keep our station here to stay. You'll take away your sorrow and still be here tomorrow. WRFG is the place to be. I said WRFG is the place to be. Blues Therapy with Lee on Wednesdays, 8 to 10 o'clock a.m. on your station for progressive information. WRFG 89.3 FM.
All righty now. Okay. We got a little bit of news from Diana about the Olympics and our gay and lesbian folks out there in Beijing. Okay. And I believe she said there were 5, but actually there's 10. And the original article where I got this information had said there were 5, but further research came up with an additional 5. And they are, of the 10 publicly gay Olympians this year, only one is a man, Matthew Mitchem of Australia, diving. And out lesbians are Judith Arndt from Germany. She's cycling. And Imke Dulitzer. And I apologize if I can't pronounce these names, but that's from Germany. And she is in fencing. And then we have Gro Hammerseng and Katja Nyberg from Norway, handball, and a lesbian couple. They are partners. Okay, and then we have Natasha Kai from the U.S. in soccer, and Lauren Lappin from the U.S. softball, Victoria Vikan Sefsen from Sweden soccer, and Renee Stubbs from Australia in tennis, and Linda Bresanink from Germany, soccer. And it says that the original article mentioned 5 out athletes until an alert came from other sources letting them know that there were additional folk out there. And they said that Matthew Mitchum will be followed closely by the Outsports Olympics 2008 blog. This is where that this news is coming from. It's the Outsports blog. And they have a little commentary about why, because they said that there might be more gays and lesbians, but they're just not out. And that one of the reasons that people, or gays and lesbians, don't come out is they're afraid. The reasons athletes stay in the closet are varied, but revolve mainly around fear of the consequences of being out, from the effects on performance, interaction with teammates, fans, and the media. In some cases, endorsements. In addition, the vast majority of Olympic athletes are under 30, a time when even people who are not elite jocks are wrestling with their sexuality. Being an Olympic athlete requires full-time dedication, and a lot of things get put on hold. It is just easier to hide and deal with one's sexuality later. And Dover told the Associated Press prior to the Athens Games, and that was the last Olympics, about why more gay athletes are not open. You spend a day with these athletes, and it becomes obvious that gay people are everywhere, Dover said. The reason many of them aren't out is because they're focused on their job during this time when sports is the number one thing in their lives. You know, there's a lot of reasons. So it also says that, who knows, they may be a gay rower, a gay badminton player, a gay, you know, something else out there in Beijing. But it's interesting to look at the numbers, because there are 10,708 athletes in Beijing, and of that, 10 are known to be gay and lesbian. So that's like 1%, maybe. And and we know that there's more of us out there in the general population. Okay.
You know, I think during the time that Greg Louganis participated in the Olympics, he was very closeted, but being that he hit his head on the diving board and started bleeding, he had no choice but to come out with regards to his, to not only his sexuality, but the fact that he was HIV positive. Right. I wonder, too, if the fact that they're in China prohibits some of the athletes to keep their sexual identity or their homosexual identity a secret.
It might, I mean, you know, but the ones that out were out from prior, I'm assuming, because they either came out in appearances in some way or some articles or interviews that they had, and it was talked about in those times. So when the when they researched, they found all these places where they had come out prior to the Olympics, you know. So it might, I mean, you know, China is not one of those places where there's too many liberties, you know. But very surprising that when you're watching, because I've been watching it the last couple of days, and you know, one of my comments was that they seem to be happy people.
The Chinese?
Yeah, I mean, they just seem to be, you know, very happy people. You know, their expressions and just their overall, you know.
Well, being that they are in a censored country, I don't think that they can express any other kinds of emotions for public display.
But I thought I would mention that, you know, and in case anybody has any comments about that, the number is 404-523-8989. Call and join the conversation while we're waiting for Andre and his pride in politics. And what we're going to be talking about with him is collaboration.
But, you know, it's a very controlled country. You know, even this morning I was watching Good Morning America, and they were talking about the little girl who sang the song, and the fact that she was really lip-syncing. But what really struck me was the fact that government officials made the decision that the little girl who was supposed to sing the song initially just did not necessarily fit their image
for appearance sake.
Right.
Oh, I read the headline, and mm-hmm. I was doing something else, and I didn't have time to go in and read the story, but they showed the picture of the little girl. Mm-hmm. And, the headline is what caught me. One was, they said something to the effect of, one was pretty enough, but the other one right. was not, or something right. like that. And I said, huh? What are right. they talking about? You know, but I had to finish what I was doing, so... I didn't get a chance to read it.
So, yeah, it's all about images.
Images. Is that what it is?
It's all about images.
But aren't we the same here? I mean, it's a curious thing, you know, and the way that, you know, we perceive ourselves, mm-hmm. but are we really, you know, that liberated, you know? I mean, there's a lot of times that we have to follow, you know, the rules. Mm-hmm. You know, especially when you're a public figure or you're out there representing some big product or something and you have some big endorsements, you know, there's certain behavior that's expected of you, mm-hmm. you know. And I'm wondering how different that is, you know.
Well, you know, even here in America, pretty sells.
Mm.
Much
pretty
quicker,
sell, yeah.
Pretty sells. much quicker
pretty
than.
Pretty sells.
Pretty sells. Much quicker than.
Is that why we're on radio? I should speak for myself.
You say,
Betty, speak clear. For yourself, okay? All right. Enough of that. No, but, yeah, no, it's just a curious thing. And you were talking to me about an article you read also. There was something else that you had mentioned about the legality of something. Before we went on the air, you had said something to me about it, and I was curious to know more. Do you remember? No?
Refresh my memory.
I can't remember exactly what it was. I know that you had said something being legal or not.
We have
about one of the Chinese players for one of the sports.
Oh, yeah. Good Morning America is usually my ritual in the morning as I'm getting ready for work. But one of the issues that they were talking about on Good Morning America as well, with regards to the gymnasts, I don't know how many people know, but the legal age to participate in the Olympics is 16 years old. Mm-hmm. And many of the Chinese appear much younger than that, mm-hmm. Physically. And so there's been a lot of questions about whether or not some of the gymnasts are actually 16 years old. And they even went back into history how there have been times when gymnasts have said they were 14 years old 3 years in a row.
Mm-hmm. 3 years in a row.
Years in a row.
I want to add that way.
but it is really interesting. They even had some sort of a specialist on who actually was able to look at facial features and be able to tell how one's face grows and the proportion that one's facial features are to one's face would be able to indicate their age. And this particular woman noted that based on these facial features of these young girls, it would be impossible for them to be 16 years old. However, the anchorman on Good Morning America feel that there will not be any type of investigation into this issue because it would cause a huge scandal in China and basically kind of shake up the relations between the Chinese and other governmental officials as a result of possibly misleading people with regards to these young girls. So, I don't know. That's going to be very interesting to see whether or not anything will ever come out of it. But, you know, certainly keep posted to the Olympics and keep posted to the news. There has been a lot of controversy thus far, and the Olympics has not been happening for a very long period of time yet, but so far there's been a lot of controversy thus far to come out of the Olympics in such a short time. So we will definitely keep watch over that. And we are waiting for Andre Holmes to call with his Pride in Politics segment. And tonight he will be talking about collaboration within the GLBT community amongst different GLBT leaders. Also, to remind you, Mr. Makua Ray of We Are One TV will soon join us in the second half hour to talk to us about a wonderful block party that is coming to Little Five Points this weekend. And so we're very excited and anxious to hear about what he's doing.
Okay. With that said, we have Andre on the phone, so we're going to go straight to him. Okay. Andre, you're on the air.
Hey, Betty.
Hey, how you doing?
Good with the gang. How's everybody doing?
Okay. Hey, Andre.
Hi, Dion.
Alrighty. So what you got for us tonight?
Pride in Politics, where the personal is political, is looking in depth at the different ways groups are working together. We call it collaboration for change.
Okay. So what do you have to say about it?
Well, basically, you know, we're doing work and looking and reporting on different groups who are really trying to unify the community. And so first, I am to set up our conversation for next week that will involve leadership. One of the components of leadership is the idea of finding common goals and common ground, and then finding allies who can help you meet your goal. So when we talk about this idea of community building, one of those things is identifying the needs of the community. Now, as you know, once you identify the need, how you go about trying to meet the need, there can be a wide variety of different paths to meet the need. Mm-hmm. And so usually it seems that many leaders and people who work in leadership development identify that that is kind of where you get into maybe some conflict and one of the barriers in collaboration. So what we're looking at is how groups and different people are trying to overcome that barrier.
The barrier. Okay.
The barrier.
The barrier. All right. First, let me make a little clarity as far as what my personal experiences have been in seeking collaboration. Okay, we tend to use a word called resource. Okay, and for some reason, resource implies to most people that it has to do with money. Okay, well, resource to me means ability, knowledge, and the willingness of people to do together and to look and see the common the commonalities that we have and what the common goals might be and identify one of those that would be able to be worked on together, because from that then you can move out and forward with other things. You know, if you can work together on one thing, then you can discover that there's other things that you can also work on, and that resources does not imply money. Yes, it is one thing, okay, but we tend to shy away from working with one another when we use that word resources. Because right away, the other person who may not have the money, or the organization may not have money, are thinking, well, we have to put up money. No, you put up people, bodies, the willingness to do the work that needs to be done, you know. And then from there, you span out and you look for the resources or the dollars that are required to get things done. But you can start with the mutual resources that we all have. If we have an organization, we all have people that belong to that organization, and we have to take ownership of those things that we want to do. You know?
Well, and talking to many groups, and you bring up a good point, Betty, some of the people in leadership development I've been talking to, such as different leaders and staff at the United Way, are also saying in the idea of community building that, you know, you're right. The idea of how we define resources is important, but also how different groups come together and the vision that they have. Mm-hmm. Because, again, the vision can be, when it comes to grassroots organizations, that is not always clear.
Right. But that's identifying the commonalities. Mm-hmm. Okay, what do we have in common as a group, as an organization, as an individual, and that points us in the same direction? That's the vision, okay? But that vision comes from, you know, something that you can see that's common, okay? And if you can identify that amongst all the folks involved, then you can get something started.
You can get something started.
Right.
Dion, you can free to chime in here.
Yeah, Dion is getting our next guest situated here in the studio. So it's you and I on, Ray, okay?
Okay, that's fine. I heard her say hello.
I want to throw this out there also, that one of the things that I've written about in the past, okay, and I've always used to include it on the bottom of my newsletters years back under the Women's World label, is that diversity is our army, inclusion our weapon, and community the victory. Okay, and if we you know, look at that more closely, you know, diversity is our army. In other words, the people that we can put together to do the work that needs to be done. And inclusion means including everybody. Okay, no, it doesn't matter if gay, straight, black, white, you know, Muslim, Catholic, Arab, whatever, you know, Jews, Jewish. I mean, whatever it is, if you can come together with a common goal, the likelihood of something happening is much greater.
Right. And then the thing is that that's the system, and we know that that is kind of
the process.
The process in a perfect world. However,
yeah.
I just wanted to give people the quick tips as the things that can derail that process.
Right.
And
okay.
One of the things that can derail that process is when the agenda, so to speak, are competing, when there are competing agendas, because like you know, not everybody comes to the table with the same spirit of collaboration. We know there are different forces where some people enter projects and enter this whole idea of community building with the aspect of from a very ego driven perspective.
Right.
They are trying to get their name associated or their particular interests out there.
Yeah. I mean, that's ongoing. I mean, that's a forever kind of thing. What you have
that's
to do,
ongoing.
What the group that forms and whoever's doing the work has to, when they're sitting around that table, they have to identify the common, what you have in common.
Right.
And where you want to go to. Okay,
right.
And then work from that perspective and not the individual perspectives. You have to make, you have to get everybody, you know, like you gather up the voices, okay, and you gather up the ideas, and then from those ideas, you're going to get something that's common.
So you
and within that common ground, okay, is where you're going to start your work from. Never mind what you and I and the other, you know, John Doe and Jane Doe and everybody else has it personal. Never mind all that, okay? You got to find that common piece.
Because you find the common piece.
Right, because
and
it exists.
Always keep that at the forefront.
Absolutely.
For some people,
you have to.
It could be, it's always important sometimes to maybe keep reiterating your
absolutely.
Mission and why you were formed during every meeting.
You begin
meeting
every meeting with what is your intentions, okay?
Right.
You begin every meeting reminding people why you are gathering, why you even started the whole process, so that everybody gets back on board and on the same page before you go, you know, and go to the next step. Okay, everybody has to be reminded why you came there to start out with. What
right.
What goals have been identified, and how are we going to move forward with those goals?
Exactly.
As a group and as one. And it's great because our next speaker is We Are One, an organization that's here in Atlanta now, and they're having an event coming up on the 16th. And this collaboration, and it wasn't even planned to tell everybody, it wasn't planned, but it falls right in, you know, with this, what I call humanitarian effort that's all encompassing.
Well, good. So we've mm-hmm. taken a look at the first step of collaboration, and we can't wait to talk next week where we'll be talking about leadership in the LGBT community.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Andre Holmes reporting for Pride and Politics,
okay,
Alternative Perspectives.
Thank you, Andre. See you next
you.
Week. All right. Bye-bye. And we're going to play you a little music in the meantime, and we'll be right back.
No beginning, no end. Tell your mother, tell a friend. Time has come, truth draws nigh. There's a circle in the sky. It's all so simple, really, truly, but we make
it's so complex. What goes around comes right back around and around and around. No need to ask what comes next. Cycles and circles. Nothing's new, still all is changed. If our thoughts create our reality, then tell me who controls our brains. Cycles and circles. Nothing new, still all is changed. Our thoughts create our reality, so we must control.
And you're listening to Simple Truth by Makua Ray, who is our guest in the studio and a collaborator in the organization called We Are One. And we're going to bring him on.
Do you believe everything you read?
Makua.
Yes.
Hey.
Hi there.
How you doing?
I'm grateful. Grateful to be here.
Thank you for coming.
I'm loving the conversation, the energy, getting the report, what's going on.
The previous conversation leads us right into what you're doing.
Isn't that perfect?
Perfect. I mean, it couldn't be planned any better. Okay. And what is it that you are doing? There's an event coming on the 16th?
That's correct. I'm actually working with a great group of people who are collaborating.
Yeah, right.
And we've established the first step to identify what we want to do, and in this case our mission is to promote a block party in the Little Five Points community that will help to foster unity.
Okay.
Because we know the first step to collaboration is you got to even unify.
That's right.
Even make the decision to come together.
That's right.
So this is a major first step, I think, in many ways for the community of Little Five Points. It's very exciting because there are so many of us out here that are either activists or artists or educators or parents, community members, supporters of WRFG, folks who go to Sevananda, you name it. We got a variety of folks that come here every day, week after week. And I think that it's a good time, the climate is ripe, for us to really begin to converge. And to speak to that, the event this Saturday also commemorates not only the unity here in Little Five, but also the 21-year anniversary of a celestial event called the Harmonic Convergence, which is sort of setting the tone for what this is about. 21 years later, we're the generation now, we're the new generation, all of us who have gathered, who are really helping to fulfill particular prophecies, prophecies of various people from Guatemala, from Ecuador, from South America, from West Africa, Native Americans from all over this continent. Mm-hmm. People all over the world are recognizing this time we're living in as a time of the restoration of humanity. So this event, We Are All One, that's what it really means. What it says is what it means. The meaning or the mission is in the name. We are all one. It's basically taking the stand to recognize and to celebrate that there is there's strength in unity.
Yes, there is.
You know, and there's strength also in the allowance, the acceptance, the diversity, and really going beyond these borders that we've sort of created for our own comfort zone and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Really going beyond that.
Right.
To see, as you said at the top of the program, I mean, what things do we have in common?
Yeah.
And can we identify? Can we be honest about that?
Right.
We know enough about what separates us.
Right.
So we want to go ahead and emphasize, energize, help to manifest what actually makes us common.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we hear about common people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's nothing diminishing about being a common folk.
Right.
That's actually a compliment.
Exactly.
When you begin to recognize your oneness with, mm-hmm. with your fellow human beings. That's a very exciting thing. So we have a day's event worth of music, everything from rock and roll, rock bands, to hip-hop and soul, some folk music. Mr. Shapiro, whom I met you on the program with, is going
right.
to be sharing music.
Right. Adam Shapiro.
We're very excited to have Adam participating.
Very good.
We have Alternate Roots, which many of the listening audience may be familiar with.
Yeah, that's
it's housed right here
downstairs.
In the community center.
Right. Yeah, right.
They're going to be tabling, and Carolyn Renee, who's the executive director there, is going to be opening the energy with a poem. And I mean, it's a variety of people coming to really honor and celebrate that, and also to help stimulate more local participation in Little Five Points, in this great community we have here, to really begin to harness our ability as people from all types of backgrounds to increase business, to support this type of shift in consciousness. So we have other nonprofits. One thing I'm very excited about, that hopefully the audience can get excited about too, is there are solutions that exist to the ecological, environmental concerns that we hear so much about now. There are indigenous scientific applications that are right at our fingertips that exist and that are little emphasized, you know. So we want to definitely bring that more into the fore and to share information about an organization called Heal the Atmosphere Association. And they offer services that I guess would be categorized as Ayurvedic or coming out of India, some of the scientific holistic practices from India, or at least attributed to India, but they're universal. They're practiced by people all over the world. And one such thing is a healing fire called Agnihotra that we'll actually be introducing people to as something they can do at their home to help to actually neutralize pollution, neutralize negative thinking. Because when we deal with pollution, it's not just environmental, it's also mental pollution.
Right.
That's right.
We got a lot of toxic thoughts.
Absolutely.
So we got to, you know, start there.
Yeah.
Our thoughts do create the reality. So we really want to inspire and empower people to become active participants in their local community. So they can do that by supporting WRFG, for example. We definitely want to do that.
Yeah, we just the marathon ended Sunday night, but please feel free to call at any time.
I mean, I'm sure we're accepting pledges.
423-8989 and do a pledge, donate, or go online at www.wrfg.org.
That's right.
Okay, so and donate anytime.
We'll be doing a couple of on-site interviews with the station out there, too.
I
mean, the hope is to really introduce new listeners to the station, to recognize what a great resource it is.
Wonderful.
Now, one of the aspects, too, we're really emphasizing is also getting the media decentralized. Okay, getting the media into the people's hands. Things like WRFG, gaining information and access to new technologies that help normalize or neutralize or equalize media to make it accessible for all people. So that the youth of tomorrow and today can actually be empowered to tell the story. We need to hear more of these stories about the great things that are happening. When we hear so much about trauma, we hear so much about chaos and the things that separate us. We want to definitely make sure this event, We Are All One, is about emphasizing the things that are actually worth celebrating.
Makua, tell us a little bit more about We Are All One TV and and the concept behind that.
What that is actually it started out as a blog online with a brother named Cameron, who's really a spearhead in this effort. He's the one that really received the inspiration and then gathered a bunch of folks, like myself included, to come together because we really believe in the same thing. And it started out as a blog, in other words, an online way of communicating. And it's evolved into what now has become an online social network where different people who have access to the internet from anywhere in the world can actually join in, sort of like a Facebook or a MySpace. But in this particular case, it's focused around the recognition of our unity. It's recognizing our oneness. And so the ideal as we evolve and grow, this being our first event with the block party, as we grow and evolve, we want to become more integrated with the various types of technology and media. TV being obviously, aside from internet, the most popular way that we generally have to receive information now. Radio also being up there. But we want to begin to normalize some of the other things, like podcasting, things that can really put the power of media into people's hands. You know, so .tv in terms of We Are All One .tv, that is our website. It's not a .com, it's a .tv in this case.
.tv, yeah.
We Are All One .tv. So we certainly look forward to people visiting the website and checking that out and signing into the social network.
Yeah.
They can. There's a little tab there that says "Get Involved."
Right.
They click on that. They go in. It's free.
Right.
You know, for them to join.
You can find all kinds of ways of getting involved.
Getting involved.
Yeah. I was interesting because when you were here with Adam on Adam's show, and by the way, that's Adam Shapiro's show on Thursdays called Current Events from 12 to 1.
Right.
And listen up. It tells you everything that's going on here in Atlanta. But I was curious because Karen had talked about the web 2.0.
Right.
I went home and had to look it up because I didn't know what he was talking about, okay?
Right.
But I realized I've been using it,
right,
you know, in
the whole
stuff
time.
With the podcasting that I'm doing of this show.
Yes.
And it's part of that web 2.0.
See, you're at the vanguard.
Yeah, you know, I had no idea,
though. You're setting the example. I love it. And you didn't even know it.
I didn't even
That's
know
great.
It.
That's great.
Yeah. But this show gets podcasted, and you can get those podcasts at uniteandact.org, and you'll find the past shows on there.
Okay.
And they have those little what do they call them? The little screen things that, you know, list them down,
right,
and you can click on the show that you want to hear.
The menus.
The menus.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Real cool little stuff. You know.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like, yeah. But
very user friendly.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
I mean, so
yeah,
easy. Children can navigate it.
Yeah.
Which is very exciting,
yeah,
because
it,
you know, it really is such a thing for the youth to really have the knowledge and, more importantly, the access,
mm-hmm,
to these types of media. And that's the one thing with the whole information age and the technology,
right,
leap,
right,
forward, is that we want to ensure that communities on the fringe,
right,
also have equal access to this media, to this technology.
Right.
Just like with the green movement, we want to make sure that communities on the fringe don't get left out.
Exactly.
Because, you know, it might be in the best interest of some to leave them out. So we want to ensure that.
But that's the issue and the problem is leaving,
right,
people out when they can be active in areas where they can make a difference.
That's why when we say, you know, instead of being exclusive, we want to be empowering. This is an inclusive thing.
Yeah.
It's really, it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from.
Right.
It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is that you show up. And that you know that you're on the planet for a purpose.
Right. That's like my little saying. I say inclusion is our weapon.
Hey.
You know?
Exactly.
That's,
I
what,
guess
that's
how,
what we have.
How do you try to be inclusive and unite with commonalities while at the same time respect each other's differences? Not necessarily focus on those differences. Yeah. Keep the focus on the commonalities, but at the same time be respectful of one another's differences.
For me personally, when we honor that which really essentially unites us, it also simultaneously means that we honor that which is distinguished about us.
Mm.
You know, and it's what they say in Hawaii, they say aloha.
Mm-hmm.
Aloha doesn't mean hello. It doesn't even really mean love. What it truly means is acceptance. I accept you as you are. It means, you know, or namaste is another way of saying essentially the same thing, aloha.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so to me, it is walking in the spirit of aloha. For people who visited the Hawaiian Islands, they know what I mean when I say that, because it's the type of acceptance that you're welcomed with when you come in. You're welcomed that way, not only by humanity, but also by nature.
Right.
The sun accepts us all. Mm-hmm. The rain accepts us all. So it's really a matter of I feel, a personal orientation to how you perceive yourself in relationship to the world.
Yeah. But if we start from the reality that we are all human beings, that's the beginning commonality right there.
Right.
Right.
Okay, that puts us on that plateau of equality.
Yes.
We start at an even point.
Inalienable.
Right. That's where we start from. Now, if we recognize that, you know, we can move forward together in places that we can do things together and accept what our differences are, you know, as just that. We agree to disagree,
right,
on certain things, but we move forward on the commonality of our humanity, you know. And if we begin at that point, there's a lot that can be done, a lot that, you know, there's just a lot that can be accomplished if we recognize that we start out equal.
Right. Exactly. It's a very essential thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's obviously been intended.
Simple truth.
At least on paper. It's been intended at least on paper with, you know, the quote-unquote founding fathers.
Right.
Or shall we say really with the Iroquois Nation, who did pen the great constitution of the great law of peace. Because as those folks recognized essentially, inherently, the unanimity, the union, the equality of humanity, mm-hmm. without question, because of the divinity, just the sacredness of life, mm-hmm. you know, one to another, something to be shared and celebrated. And I think the differences are important too, though, mm-hmm. and certainly not to be diminished. The differences should be celebrated.
Right.
Let's celebrate them.
Right.
And it's really right. an attitude of reverence that I think would precede, you know, or at least inform how we can evolve and grow in a way
that honors our differences teach us. We
great,
learn.
Great lessons. Great
we
teachers.
We learn from each other because our experiences are total of, you know, what our lives are, you know, from beginning to end, what
yes.
we experience as we go through life. But they're not the same experiences as somebody else.
That's right.
And they may differ from yours, or they may not be agreeable, but you still have something to learn from that when you come
yes.
in contact with somebody else who has lived in a whole different place
yes.
than you have.
Yes.
It's a lesson. It's just, it's knowledge. You know, that you can add to your own to move forward.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's great. But
absolutely.
Yeah. How long ago did this, you know, did We Are All One start?
Honestly, it started not very long ago.
Okay.
This has actually been really, I think it started as early as June.
Really?
And here we are in what, August?
August. Doing
so
your
it's
first
been a very, very accelerated process and experience. Of just a wonderful group of people who really, in many ways, have never met before.
Mm.
Just really setting all the differences aside, so to speak,
right.
and recognizing, hey, we all feel the same way about some of these issues that affect us all. Education, for
right.
example, environment, energy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We also identified economy, obviously, as something that unites us. We're mm-hmm. here, we exchange in this capitalist society, whether we agree with it or not, we have some better ideas. Mm-hmm. Collaboration is the way of the future,
and
as it's been the way of the past.
Sharing your resources, and I don't mean by that by money, as I explained
yes.
earlier, but by the knowledge that each of you have, because I did
That's
go
it.
Into the website, and where the planning stuff for this event is,
yeah.
you find all these, you know, the comments by all the people who have gotten involved
exactly.
and what they're doing in particular for it. And
exactly.
it's, you know, it's some of it is technical,
yep.
you know, some of it is just, you know, getting information from somewhere else
exactly.
or whatever. But it's everybody who has a talent or skill
right.
and a resource has jumped in, you know,
exactly.
it's an accumulation of that.
And what's exciting is as a result, we've been able to create a talent bank of sorts
mm.
because this is an initial step. This is a small step for what we really see as a larger movement, but
mm-hmm.
I think it really ushers a shift in consciousness.
In consciousness,
I've
yeah.
spoken of the indigenous piece, and I know you played a bit of the song Rainbow
mm-hmm.
from my album Simple Truth, and that
yeah.
song talks about the prophecies and the fact that we're in the period of fulfillment. The Lakota people of South Dakota and the Dakotas in the Midwest have a prophecy about the white buffalo calf.
Mm.
And it says when the white buffalo is born, that it actually signals the return of the people to one.
Wow.
And the white buffalo was born in the 1990s.
Hmm.
And we've seen a very strong acceleration and evolution of our consciousness. I, for one, have been aware of it since the early 90s,
mm-hmm.
as I've been sort of consciously on my path in that way. And I've also had the great pleasure of witnessing people in the duration since really beginning to wake up and ask some very important questions,
right.
challenge some
notions.
And ideologies
yeah.
that do not serve us anymore,
right.
that are not
mm-hmm.
going to help us grow,
right.
that have served us but no longer do,
right.
and have the courage to let them go.
Yeah.
And so we've seen across the board from esoteric things to just very mundane things, the signal, the shift, the reality unfold before us, that
yeah.
we're moving in that direction. And one statement I hear that's so true is, you choose your change, or your change will choose you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I want to certainly encourage the Atlanta
true.
community,
mm-hmm.
to become more actively collaborative,
mm-hmm.
to become more cooperative,
mm-hmm.
to become volunteer for something.
For something.
Get involved in something bigger than yourself.
Right. Volunteer right
actually,
here at WRFG.
Yes. I mean, what a perfect place.
Right.
Because it actually signals to the universe that you're growing, that
mm-hmm.
you're expanding, and that you're ready to receive more.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like an epic trauma such as 9-1-1, it did serve to bring a lot of people together that otherwise wouldn't have collaborated.
Right.
That was obviously forced out of necessity.
Necessity.
We don't want to necessarily have to wait for another trauma to happen for us to actually begin to honor each other's lives and our own.
Right.
You know? So when I honor my life, then I honor yours. When I honor yours, I'm honoring mine.
Mm-hmm.
And to really begin to see ourselves that way. No matter what the outward appearance may speak, go beyond that. Go beyond the veil. Go beyond the illusion. It's a time where all that's being torn asunder anyway.
So, if someone wanted to become more involved with We Are All One TV, what would they need to do? Who would they need to contact?
They can actually visit weareallone.tv online and go to the segment that says Get Involved.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, they can actually sign in. It's as simple as I mentioned, like a Facebook or something like that. It is an online social network specifically intended for the purposes we've expressed.
So are there different areas for them to get involved in, or is it more so they just come and offer whatever talents that they have?
What I would say at this point with the particular event we have this Saturday, the best thing to do would be to come to the event.
Okay.
There will certainly be volunteers there who will be able to better inform or maybe present a mailing list for people to sign for more information.
Mm-hmm.
Because as I said, this is the first of a series of activities. We're going to do it all over the Atlanta, all over the community.
Mm-hmm.
We're starting in Little Five, but it's going to move. We're going to go to the Underground. We're going to go to Mitchell Street. We got other places that are coming up in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So there's certainly many, many ways. Some known and some yet to be known, that people can become directly involved and actually participate. We are interested in supporting those things that are working. So in other words, WRFG is working, has been strong for 35 years.
35 years.
Doing what we're talking about, which is providing an alternative voice.
And community supported.
New media, community supported,
that's
not
right.
Commercially
no commercials.
Manipulated, but really supported by the people's support and power.
That's right.
And
that's
so
right.
we want to again emphasize things that have been working. Alternate Roots, another organization over 30 years strong, bringing activism and arts together to actually make change. So, you know, certainly if people get involved with We Are All One through the website weareallone.tv, it will be an introduction to a world of various things, everything from sacred geometry, quantum physics, I mean, things that really affect us on a variety of dimensions, down to, for example, getting access to healthy organic food, just some of the most basic things.
Makua, are you able to speak a little bit about some of the other activities that We Are All One TV are looking at implementing in the community?
I think the major thrust for us is to really begin to normalize some of this new technology.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really important because we realize that, you know, as my partner Cameron had said on a show earlier today, that every shift in consciousness has been precipitated by a shift in the art, a shift in the media, be it the printing press at one time, be it the television at another time, be it now the internet. So the technologies precipitate a major shift in consciousness. So we know that we're set, according to the indigenous prophecies, for a huge overhaul in human consciousness. It's happening, and it's going to only quicken.
Mm-hmm.
So as that's happening, we want to make sure, again, that people on the fringe, people who have not up until now been in the know, get to waking up, you know, and then recognize they're not alone, and that they can have access to media. So I think a big thing is accessing, harnessing the power of media to shed light on the things that are already happening. We don't really have to so much try or strive to reinvent the wheel. I think we need to, again, get behind and support the things that are strong, but they're just under the radar. We want to bring them above the radar, bring them into people's awareness. So that's one of the efforts. We're going to certainly be doing other community unity events because by having these particular events these days, people get to actually come out and see each other, see new faces, see old faces, get to hear about some new exciting things happening, hear some great music that can transform you, mm-hmm. high resonance music and the variety of great artists that we have, and learn some things that they might not have otherwise considered.
Right.
You know, and look at ways to where we can, again, I mean, unify. That's the whole point, unity in the community.
Yeah.
You know, they say that's been one of the things that has allowed the so-called powers that be to continue their reign of terror, mm-hmm. has been the fact that they thrive on separation consciousness. Mm-hmm. They thrive on us staying separated.
Yeah.
So as you said, inclusivity is our weapon.
That's it.
So come on, let's wield that.
Let's wield that.
It's time for that.
Yeah,
so
you know, divide and conquer is what they try to do to us. You know, that's you know, historical.
Yeah.
And we have to come to that awareness of that. That is what they try to do to us.
As somebody once told me, that separation consciousness will not exist. It cannot, by nature of the shift, exist in the new day. So it's almost like one who lives in that will cancel themselves out from the equation. So it's really a call, more than anything, to personal responsibility, integrity, and accountability.
Mm-hmm.
To, am I growing? Mm-hmm. Am I really doing the things that I've espoused or spoken of? Am I really living and walking in that integrity?
Right. Am I really, you know,
am I really authentic?
Am I really walking the talk?
Exactly.
Or talking the walk, or whichever way
all
it goes,
of that.
You know?
Walking and talking.
Walking and talking, you know? But I mean, it's am I how I see, you know, what it is?
Yeah. And can I be the change I want to see?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Which is very exciting, because a lot of people are getting courage. You know, people have been so steeped in fear.
And we have to be brave
for so
together.
You've got to be brave.
We have to.
And you've got
to
be encouraging.
And we have to do that together.
We got to be supportive of each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and you know, there's some things that we do share in common, and I think the more that we emphasize that, the greater healing we're going to experience.
Because
really and truly, that's what everybody wants.
Right.
Everybody got post-traumatic stress disorder out here. You know, we all really want some healing. You know what I mean? We need the healing feeling. So again, we encourage people to get involved. We are all one. Block Party, it's there for the people.
And give us that information again on the Block Party.
It's the We Are All One Block Party. It's a mega event, y'all. And it's this Saturday, August 16th, 12 noon. To 3 a.m. Can you believe it? 15 hours worth of information, of energy, of support, of encouragement.
Hours.
It's amazing. It's something else. We have all types. We have electronic dance music DJs coming out. We got DJs from WRFG, my brother DJ Fourth World.
Okay.
Global Drum Beat, Thursday afternoons.
Okay.
He'll be out there.
All right.
Juanique Shabazz will be out there.
Oh, cool bass.
With some energy, some support, his presence.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have some craftspeople sharing their gifts, their art with the people. We'll have organizations tabling throughout the day. This is taking place in Little Five Points. What an awesome place. At the Five Spot.
At the Five Spot.
Which has been
gracious
to open their gates to us all day.
Mm-hmm.
We got a band called Laura Reed and Deep Pocket that's going to play that night. We have Deep Blue Sun, another band, going to play that night. We have the Newberry Jam, another band that does a lot of funk and jam energy music. It kind of makes you feel good to celebrate life, right? We have hip-hop artists. Myself, my name is Makua Ray. I'll be out there performing, sharing the energy. Princess La Tremenda doing some multilingual Spanish, Portuguese,
salsa, Portuguese,
little vibes,
Brazilian,
you know,
I
little
mean,
Brazilian
you know,
jazz,
yeah.
You know, a little reggae, a little bit of everything.
Okay.
And, you know, it's going to be fun. We have actually one thing that's very exciting is we have a group of graffiti artists, which we will now call muralists.
All right.
You know, so we make everybody happy. We'll call them muralists on this event.
Okay.
Also known as graffiti artists.
Make them legal.
They're going to be out there, and with the permission, obviously,
the permission,
of the venues and the landlord, they're going to be beautifying the wall with some amazing images.
Wow.
Like amazing images that are going to be being created that day. So people are going to be actually out there witnessing this live art. Mm-hmm. This demonstration, I mean, it's going to be a great time. So.
Okay.
This
very
Saturday,
powerful,
August 16th, we
all
are
right.
all one Block
point
Party.
To the Five Spot. And
yes.
Again, our time has just flown by.
Well, thank you, Betty.
And
thank you so much
for being here, for giving us that information. And I hope to see you on the 16th.
Oh, you will.
All right.
Okay.
And for now, I will say good night and buenas noches.